Chapter 8 Old Enemies. Esher's body glowed with the ecstasy of holy union. Domine ex venari moved easily in the low gravity, and she experienced its long loping strides as if they were her own. Locomotion under low gravity conditions felt deliciously lazy. 50 meters of metal passed by with every bound. The Legio fanned out from the dropships under a burning sky. Flights of fighter craft sped overhead, driving back attempts by the enemy to attack the Legio Solaria from above. Metallo Muntandis and Battlegroup Solaria took up position between the orbitals and the Iridium moon, lashing everything around them with destruction. The False Mechanicum had no formation of sufficient strength to oppose the Adeptus Mechanicus, and the ships were free to concentrate on major defensive positions away from the moon. Already, the three void forts floating near the moon and its sub-network, designated as targets for the fleet, were coming under concerted attack. Cold, airless space was the field of battle. Scutari Thalaxi and attached Legio Cybernetica battle automata were raining down on the orbitals around the moon. None were bound to aid the Imperial hunters on the surface. Their role was to take the fight inside, subvert the orbital systems, and if possible turn the guns of the great docks on the enemy. On the moon below, mixed formations led by god engines would be striking out to secure command and control centres. She anticipated these lesser wars would be done quickly. Iridium was mostly in loyalist hands already. She could spare no thought for that now. On the outside of the docks and processing centres surrounding the moon was where her battle would be decided, engine to engine. Esher Ani Mohana's reinforced maniple adopted a hunting pattern that Parkmetris herself would have recognised. Warhound pack ranging in front, Reaver huntresses behind, ready to take down prey started by the hounds. Third, tenth, and sixth maniples adopted similar formations to either side of her as their dropships came down and they walked onto the field of battle in her wake. Second maniple was first in the hierarchy. The others deferred to her. The orbital they fought on was the largest over Iridium and was joined to its fellows by a mess of transitways and structural supports. The purpose of this tangle of metal eluded her. It seemed overly complex for the orbital's role as shipyard and fuel store. Counterproductive, even. The Iridium subnetwork caging the moon was only a part of the giant lattice of steel, stone, adamantium and energy bonds that orbited Theta Garmin V. The network centred on the gas giant's equator, spreading far north and south into the tropics. Further stations clustered around the poles and the planet's other moons. The docks were situated further out from the world. Much closer in was a second agglomeration of hydrogen processing decks, whose siphons descended deep into the upper atmosphere. Together, they made a fat, broken belt of silver links. A shiver of premonition passed through her body and mind. A superstitious backworlder would recognize the feeling and make some gesture to ward off the evil eye. But this was holy, from the machine god. By primal feeling, she processed Domine ex Venari's Auspex input, and this was a warning of incoming engines. There was, of course, a plethora of light-spun models for her to see on her helm display, and similar could be accessed mentally via the manifold, but visceral emotion was far more natural. Far more right. She felt the enemy, as an arachnid feels her web move, or a felid hears the faint crackle of grass and knows instantly what prey has made it. She smelled the enemy on winds of data. This was Procon's gift to the Legio of Tigris. "I am the Huntress. You are my mistress of hounds," she voxed. These were the words that must be said. Ritual demanded them. They remembered the whisper on the wind, the subtle hand signal that brings meat to the table through blood and death. She felt every mind in the maniple intent on her across the maniple infosphere.
"What orders for the hunt, Second Princeps Majoris?"
responded Durana Fal. "Let's slip the dogs," she said. Facsimiles of canine howls blared through her soul. She smiled indulgently. The ritual done, the business of engine war had to be attended to. "Third maniple, tenth maniple, sixth maniple, you walk with us. Will you acquiesce to my command?"
"Aye. Third maniple names you princeps senioris," spoke Akali Netra,
the princeps majoris of third.
"As does sixth. And tenth. You are hunt leader. You are second maniple. You command, we shall follow. Set out the course of the hunt."
Esha's gratitude touched their minds in reply. The election was another ritual. As commander of second maniple, she was the Great Mother's chosen representative. She had automatic right of command when on the field. But to the adepts of the machine god, ritual was important. Through the war cants, the bond between human and machine was forged. The division between she and Domine Ex Venari closed a little more at this show of respect to their deity. The forces voted to her were three full-strength Venator configuration maniples. Along with her own reinforced group, it made for a total of 16 warhounds and 5 reavers. The disposition they should take was obvious.
5 engines, single maniple, axiom configuration, coming in on bearing 135. The enemy will round the tower cluster ahead of us in 6 minutes, 14 seconds. They threaten our major landing zone on this section of the orbital structure. Response? 4 packs, 4 hounds each, 3 wide echelon right. 1 fall back to sweep wide right. Single concentration hunter group, backline inverse V. Long-range primary bombardment, firing advance, hounds to bring home the kill. Elude, encircle, obliterate.
She spoke in a pulsing chant. She spoke the orders, but they were transmitted to her fellows as light-speed cascades of data before she had finished speaking.
"Confirmed,"
responded the others. Sixth first, the rest following. They understood the commands. The formations were second nature to the engines and their crews. Ahead, the warhounds had spread out into a single loose crescent, their advanced Auspex suites pinging the complex artificial landscape ahead with the aim of flushing out the foe. At Escher's command, they changed configuration. The fan of hunting scout titans broke up by maniple and clumped into hollow box formations. The warhound packs from 3rd, 6th and 10th maniples strung themselves out in an echelon right, with 3rd maniple in the lead. 2nd dropped back from the middle, swung about, and began to run for the end of the line in a long, steep curve. The 3 reavers of the other maniples increased speed. Domine Ex Venari and Steel Huntress slowed to allow them to catch up. Steel Huntress and the reaver Broadspear made up the tips of an inverted V. Domine Ex Venari took the trailing point, a position Escher could easily view the whole engagement from. Arcadian Might of 6th and Netra's Ordicarium flanked her. Now close to, the reavers extended their infospheric network, linking their Auspexes together with a flicker of pulsed data squirts that blended the senses of engine and princeps. Information flashed between them. Escher felt herself uplifted again as she took another step on the machine god's sacred stair. Joining this wider network, she moved closer to her god. Her humanity seemed very far below now, nearly forgotten.
"A sensor anomaly, Princeps Senioris."
The notification came on a flash of pulsed laser, quicker than thought, from the warhound Howl of Fire of 3rd Maniple. Along with the words were cartolithic data, picked and vid. In the systems linked to her mind, it integrated itself seamlessly with data cast from the other scouts. Escher processed the input instantaneously. Her sisters saw what she saw. Howl of Fire and its packmates were approaching a collection of tall annular buildings in the shadow of the starscrapers. A magnetic forge where metals heated to gaseous states were spun into ship components and flash-cooled, while powerful electromagnets aligned the crystals in the metal to the maker's whim. It was online,
the city-sized emitters blanketing an area 40 kilometers square in invisible electromagnetic fog. If she looked with her human eyes, Escher witnessed the ingenuity of man given form in metal. 300-meter-tall towers rose in praise of the machine god, filling the emptiness of the void and dividing it into useful spaces. Crisp shadow and brilliant metal made an abstract scene. She saw order there. Bright flashes from the ongoing void war glinted on the metal, but could not drive back the shadow between. If she used anything but the fraction of the electromagnetic spectrum visible to human eyes, she saw blankness. The perfect place for an ambush. "Third maniple hunting pack, pull left immediately," she voxed, breaking out of the infosphere for a moment. Her mind drew back from Domine Ex Venari's soul. She remembered flesh and blood. She remembered weakness. The Reaver felt her sorrow, and its being reached out to embrace Escher in its power once more. Third Maniple's hunting pack was at the leading edge of the echelon. The hollow square of warhounds swung left in perfect coordination. They sent alert signals to the other groups. The pack slowed. To get clear of the dead space, they had to skirt around a field of spherical hydrogen tanks, 1,000 strong. "Warhounds, slow but continue. We shall draw them out. Reavers, halt," thought Escher. The Reavers took a few more unsteady steps in the low gravity. The Arcadian might stumbled, forcing it to fire anchor cables from its upper greaves to bring itself to a stop.
"Princeps, signores?"
The minds of the infosphere were nodes of information, bright orbs of light in a sea of data rendered as glittering threads. The princeps' minds were larger than the moderati's, the engine souls biggest of all. No single voice spoke the query. All spoke the query.
"Ready weapons," she said. "Maniple packs, 6th, 10th, and 3rd, slow and prepare to scatter."
The Reavers set themselves against the coming recoil. Gatling blasters, laser blasters, and volcano cannons leveled. Bracing pistons engaged. Energy gauges crawled upwards with the building thrum of reactor power draw.
"Weapons are charging,"
Omega-6 voxed from the reactor.
"Third maniple pack, you are too close. Draw back from the chem stores."
Too late. A Reaver surged from the darkness, chain fist churning. Howl of Fire had time to turn and bring its guns to bear before the weapon punched into and through the void shields and cut across the delicate waist joint of the scout. The upper half of Howl of Fear was thrown free and up, crashing into a hydrogen tank dozens of meters away. Liquefied gas boiled off in a geyser kilometers long. The Warhound's reverse-jointed leg section took 4 more steps before collapsing. Alarms whooped in the cockpit.
"Engine down," a flat machine voice repeated. "Engine down."
"There's another maniple in the forge. 5 more engines. A second axiom configuration. Split 1-4 grouping. Coming out of the magnetic shadow. They're ambushing us. Fools,"
said Cancer Writ of 10th Maniple. The enemy Reaver was striding from the kill site, Gatling blaster volleying fire at the fleeing warhounds. Void shields sparked. One of the warhounds twisted upon its waist, loosing a spear of sun-hot gas from its plasma blast gun. It splashed on the void shield, curling back like a blowtorch flame pressed to metal. The Reaver's first shield flared bright crimson. Light intensity and hue dropped through the spectrum, dark red, darker, more blue creeping into the discharge, until finally it died to purple and guttered out. Sheet lightning flashed. The shield dropped. From the dead zone strode 4 more engines, already firing. 3 warlords and the enemy maniple's second Reaver marched out of the avenues between the magnetic forge's towers. They came to a halt and braced. Their carapaces sparkled as they unleashed a salvo of rockets.
"They are bad at this kind of war," said Akali Netra. "They reveal themselves too soon."
Escher magnified the image with a thought. The Deathstalkers had shed their old livery as a serpent sheds its skin. They had kept the dark red and cream colours that had given them a regal appearance in the past, but the balance had changed in favour of the red and was now accentuated with purple panels. The cream had darkened to the yellowed ivory of old bone. Together, purple, scarlet, and bone
gave the Titans the appearance of slabs of butchered meat. She thought quickly. The other Axiom maniple would be on them in moments. Even with so many Titans on her side, she did not rate their chances against two battle-line units. She had an idea. Spectrum tested the gases spurting from the ruptured tank and smiled. The outer hull was breached. Oxygen was leaking from the pressurized sections of the deck below the broken tank. Not much, but enough.
Warhound packs are clear. Reavers return fire, thought Escher. Fire select seeker arrows on my target. Rocket volley now.
The Reavers under Escher's command were equipped with carapace-mounted apocalypse launchers. Exhaust blasted from venting ports as the rockets fired. Seeker arrows were particular to their legio, a product of their way of war. The missiles burned across the dark, guided by the disembodied brains of human beings. Each missile cost a life to make, to ensure its one vital task was undertaken correctly. The rockets slammed into the first rank of the hydrogen tanks at precisely spaced intervals. They exploded with immense violence, each impact triggering a chain reaction that blew up the tanks in sequence until half the field was erupting. The explosion lofted metal high out beyond the reach of the gravity well of moon and orbitals. Fire rushed out, forcing attack craft to take evasive action. The enemy Reaver was engulfed by the storm of metal and flame. When it rolled back, extinguished by the void, the Reaver was down, void shields offline and struggling to stand. Its chain fist tip skidded on the structure beneath it as it attempted to force itself upright. Where the hydrogen tanks had been was a mass of twisted metal. The area of devastation was broad and had opened up an even larger section of the dock's pressurized decks to the open void. Seemingly limitless atmosphere rushed outwards, thick and white as a waterfall run in reverse.
Third maniple, double back! Avenge your fallen sister!
The warhounds obeyed eagerly, wheeling about to strafe the fallen engine with Vulcan megabolter fire and lashes of incandescent plasma. The fallen machine fired back in panic, its rockets stripping the shields from one of the warhounds. The Reaver's maniple mates were quick to target the naked scout, and a hit from a volcano cannon tore off the warhound's blast gun. The damaged engine fell back under fire, out of the battle, but its sisters continued, riddling the Legio Vulpa machine until it collapsed completely and lay dead, its hull punctured by dozens of smoking wounds.
"Engine kill," said the machine voice in Domine Exvenari's cockpit. "Engine kill confirmed."
Despite the loss of the Howl of Fire, Escher felt a surge of triumph.
10th and 6th hunting packs envelop. 2nd stay wide. 3rd join them, outflank and destroy, she said.
The infosphere jittered. The enemy were attempting to disrupt their communications. Tech priests aboard the Metallo Mutandis and the Legio strategic staff on the Tantamon and Artemisia would be attempting to do the same to the Deathstalkers. Broken communications destroyed the effectiveness of a Legio. Comms disruption was an old trick, and easily countered. But like a customary greeting, it had to be carried out.
Reavers target enemy maniple. Fire on my command.
She checked the position of the second enemy maniple, coming around the tower cluster. They would round it at a position well wide of the blind spot and hydrogen firestorm. They would be easy to hit. Conversely, so would her Reavers. The field was roughly even. 14 warhounds, 5 Reavers, against 6 warlords and 3 Reavers. The Legio Solaria had the numbers, but the power disparity between a scout titan and engine like a warlord more than made up for it. Legio Vulpa would outmatch them if they were allowed to join their maniples. If she allowed them. The enemy maniple was standing steady in the magnetic forge complex, trusting to the confusion of emanations to spoil their foe's aim. Their void shields were as close to each other as they could be, forming a wall of energy, and they were firing every weapon they had at Escher's group of Reavers. Stripes of coherent light blasted across the space between them. In space, volcano cannons were even deadlier than planetside, suffering no refractive weakening from the atmosphere. Domine Exvenari took a solid hit. Alarms wailed. Sparks fountained from an energy buffer as the first shield went down violently. More shots came streaming in from the carapace laser blasters of two warlords. The first void shield lasted precisely a third of a second. Escher logged that. That was too fast. All across her group, voids were sparking, coming down. In moments, they would be suffering real damage. She waited to fire back. Legio Vulpa were aggressive. If they thought their enemy helpless, they would neglect their own defence.
"They do not think we can hit them," she thought to her comrades. "We shall prove them wrong."
10th and 6th maniples were running obliquely through the storm of atmosphere blasting up through the ruptured skin of the docks. Though obscured, targeting data streamed in from the scouts. The linked minds of engine, servitor, and crew digested it effortlessly, turning half-obscured picked glimpses into solid firing solutions. Enhanced targeting images shone in her mind's eye. Domine Exvenari shifted, already bringing its weapons to bear. By now, the Deathstalkers would have slaved their reactors to their weapons systems for maximum destruction, neglecting their shields. They knew no other way.
"Open fire," she said. "All weapons."
The Reavers emptied their rocket pods of missiles in one cataclysmic barrage. The magnetic forges suffered several stray shots. In her machine sight, Escher witnessed loops of intense magnetism lash out, powerful enough to perturb the path of the plasmic gases vomiting from the Titan's weapons. Their discharges bent around themselves into complex knots as one of the towers toppled sideways and crumped to ruin on the surface. More rockets slammed into the void shields of Legio Vulpa. Silent fire burst around them and was sucked away to nothing by the vacuum the instant it appeared. Chimes informed the crew that the enemy was shedding their energy protection under the fury of the attack and was slow to replenish it. The notifications were not needed. Escher felt it as a prickling under her skin.
"Advance!" she commanded.
Still firing their energy cannons, the Reavers moved forwards. They planted their feet carefully, legs bent for walking under fire, bracing themselves against the recoil from their guns, their formation allowing them to fire all of their weapons with ease. Legio Vulpa thought themselves stronger and stood in the full fury of the Reavers' onslaught. By the way they were adjusting their positions, it seemed they also anticipated that the Imperial Hunter's warhounds would emerge to attack their rear. 10th and 6th Maniples hunting packs obliged. They burst through the gases venting from the dock city and came in at a run, all guns blazing. 8 warhounds were a threat, and the enemy maniple adjusted itself further to this new vector of attack. Their line bent back, the left-hand Reaver turning a full 90 degrees and directing all its fire at the attacking scouts, bringing welcome respite to the Legio Solaria's advancing group. The situation hung on a thread. Legio Vulpa were inflexible, but their stubbornness made them deadly. Escher pressed ahead aggressively, only because she saw little other choice. A single mistake would see her attack plan undone. This was not the form of war she had been raised to. During the Crusade, it was unusual to see more than a single maniple on a battlefield. The services of the Legios were called only to address the gravest threats, the hardest or most intransigent foes. Where the Legios walked, Xenos and humans alike trembled. There were societies with greater technical knowledge than the Imperium, but few of them had the industrial might of the rising empire. It was a rare machine that could match a Titan, and the metal gods of Mars had walked invincibly wherever they chose. Horus and Kelbor Hal had changed that. When the Fabricator General took the cause of the Warmaster, more than half the Titan Legios had followed him into the madness of betrayal. Now Titans fought Titans, and the effects were devastating. Nothing could have prepared Escher for war like this. In the distant days of the Age of Strife, when the Forges of Mars tussled for dominance, then the Titans had traded blows, but all was done to a strict code of war. There was no such restraint in this conflict. 30 Titans were involved in this battle, and it was reckoned a skirmish by the standards of the day. One of the charging warhounds went down in flaming pieces that scattered among the legs of its packmates and threatened to trip them. The others pounded on, twisting their torsos about to fire as they raced past the enemy maniple. The enemy titans paced around, keeping their vulnerable rears out of the warhound's weapons' arcs, while raking their assailants with return fire. But the warhounds were fleet, and ran past out of danger before circling back for another strafing run. Those warlords, still firing on the Reavers, concentrated on the Ordokarium, hunt leader of Third Maniple. Lasfire smashed void shields like they were made of glass. No fewer than 15 lances of energy slammed into its legs simultaneously as the last void blinked out, shattering the locomotors and sending the upper part of the Reaver spinning helplessly off into the void. The crew and engine lived, but were in growing danger from enemy fighter craft as they floated away. Already a retrieval vessel was sailing from out of the vast maw of Metallomutandus's principal docking slot, tight fusillades of gunfire clearing its way through the press of enemy ships, with Servitor attack drones speeding in to escort it. Escher felt all this information in multiple ways, but she cared only for her targets. Concerted fire from her Reavers hammered down the voids of a warlord. More cut into its carapace. An explosion ripped through the top of its hull, and the right arm fell slack in its mounting. The triumphant shrills of Domine Ex Venari's autosenses predicted imminent reactor failure. It limped backwards. Seeing their position compromised, the others formed up around their wounded comrade and began to fall back to meet with the approaching maniple. Now that more fire was directed at the scouts, two more warhounds were crippled, forcing their withdrawal. One tripped as it fled, its leg shattered. The other sprinted free, dragging its broken inferno cannon behind it.
"We have them," voxed Escher to her demi-legio. "Push forwards. Do not allow them to link up with the second enemy maniple. Third and second packs, your time is now."
The enemy fell back, right into the path of second and third maniple's hunting packs. They came stealthily from opposite diagonals, second emerging round the last of the magnetic forges as the enemy maniple entered the main avenue leading through the complex. It was a risk. Timed wrongly, they would have been wide open to the fire of the coming enemy. But they timed it to perfection. Hails of bolter fire raked the rear of the leftmost warlord, leaving rippling splashes on its voids as the rounds were shunted into the warp. With so much warp tech active, the fabric of space itself seemed to ripple, and the combatants danced like reels of vid, flimsily projected onto a sheet stirred by a draft. Escher's Reavers were now close enough to read the nameplates of their foes and see the grisly trophies adorning them. Along the pediments of the grand carapaces were set hundreds of spikes, each fixed with a skull.
"Target Warlord Omnia Sangui," Escher ordered.
The Reavers paused, reoriented, and let fly in unison. Omnia Sangui's shields came down with blinding flashes. The warhounds ranged at the end of the avenue riddled its back with Vulcan fire. It tried to turn to present the heavier armor of its front to the scouts, but its mighty guns caught on one of the giant forge towers. Bolt rounds firing 10,000 a minute chewed metal to pieces as it tried to drag its limbs free.
"Warning! Warning! Enemy reactor collapse imminent,"
spoke the machine voice of the cockpit. Escher felt it like a growing heat, a sun rising.
"Fall back,"
she said. The Legio Solaria Reavers came to a slow halt. Locomotor units shuddering, they reversed course. The warhounds scattered like dogs chased from a carcass.
"Faster!"
Escher shouted aloud.
"Warhounds, divert all power to the locomotor units. Weapons offline. Run!"
The Reavers walked backwards as quickly as they could. The rising scream of an alarm sang out the collapse of the enemy reactor. Its maniple kin were moving fast to get clear. Plasma gushing from holes all over Omnia Sangui's back, bent around the lines of magnetic force emanating from the forge. It was a glorious sight to see, a living idol of the machine god wreathed in holy fire. The Titan slammed a fist into the side of a foundry tower and pushed itself backwards. The head ejected from the body, taking the princeps and primary moderati to safety. The rest were left to die.
"Critical! Critical! Engine death imminent!" said the Zilla voice.
The warlord cracked open like an egg hatching a star. A hemisphere of silent light rushed across the surface, engulfing the towers of the magnetic foundry to half their height. An area a kilometre across was vaporised in an instant. A moment later, a second explosion burst upwards as the warlord damaged earlier detonated. Blinding light rushed over the Reaver's void shields. The light faded. Domine Ex Venari's machine eyes recovered before Escher's human sight.
"Two warlords and a Reaver down for a handful of warhounds. A good tally, Princeps Signoris," said Duranafal. "My respect to you."
"It is not over yet," Escher replied. "Second enemy maniple incoming." The foundry was a wreck. The enemy maniple was falling back as fast as they could, pursued by the warhounds, but the second enemy maniple's energy signatures were dangerously close.
"Hunting packs return," Escher ordered.
The other enemy maniple finally rounded the massive star scrapers at the centre of the battlefield. They were arrayed for maximum fire spread and opened up as soon as they came into range. There was a warlord at the centre, which Escher recognised, even at 10 kilometres distance.
"Nuntio Dolores," she said.
"It's him, the Butcher of Bifex." A warhound of sixth maniple took a dozen direct hits and collapsed to the steel ground.
"Fall back now,"
she commanded again.
"Get me range on Nuntio Dolores, priority target. Bring it down." "That's it. No more. All ammunition depleted in Apocalypse Launcher,"
voxed Nefernen. Escher knew this. She felt the voided missile slots as painfully as an empty belly.
"Sun Fury and Las Blaster, prepare to fire,"
she shouted. Her agitation pulled her out of the manifold. Domine Ex Venari's movements lost their smoothness.
"A plasma reactor is undergoing emergency venting, Princeps. We have less than 20% capacity available at this time, barely enough to power the locomotor units,"
Omega-6 voxed from the reactor.
"Why?"
she spat.
"Void shield regeneration,"
responded Omega-6.
"Escher, we have multiple target locks,"
said Yaha-Yaha.
"Hartek's savages are powering up their volcano cannon. You know he will target you. We have limited opportunity to get out of their fire line."
She swore loudly, pulling her further out of true union.
"Take us away. Now, get us behind cover. As you command, mistress."
The void was filled with Battle Group Solaria attack craft by now, and so Hartek's unit did not advance to continue the engagement, but awaited the survivors of Maniple 18 before falling back themselves. Escher kept her eyes on Nuntio Dolores until Domine Ex Venari had moved into the geometric canyons of a heat sink, and Hartek was lost to sight. The battle was over.